You are listening to the Heart of Tradition podcast. Oh my Lord, all the talk about Gary Braca or Braca or something and all this hydrogen water and protein powders and doing a three-day fast and water fast and yeah, listening to a little bit of this, all these reels and stuff, seeing some of this has made me want to speak up because I find that this is the, we're in like a phase which I call the insectization, of nutrition, where we take everything, break it into all those little micro parts, and then try to feed it all back to people through precision. But the problem with this theory is that there's a lot of cofactors and things that these foods that we're aiming in a laser way to the body need in order to be digested properly. And when they don't have those cofactors, let's say, for example, vitamin C, you take vitamin C in this laser way, well, then you have rutin and vitamin P and vitamin, maybe even vitamin K. I'm not sure if that one's in there, but other, what are they called? Flavonoids. Is it flavonoids? Yeah. So other flavonoids that are not there. And so therefore, what happens in the body is the body will take what you have in store and it will deplete that. So what happens is over time, you are actually becoming deficient in those cofactors as you eat. Now, this is dangerous because then you feel like you're going somewhere, but you're actually moving down. And the problem with the insidiousness of this insectization process of nutrition is that you don't see what you're missing anymore because it's no longer got a name that's near as recognizable, like vitamin, you know, F, or like who's going to think of that, right? Like, or rutin. Like, nope, who's heard of that one? Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's dangerous because now you get more lost into this little world by trying to insectify everything. Now, that's one. Two, where do these people get their knowledge from? I don't know. It's true that there's a lot of studies out there and a lot of data out there. It's also true that powers that be have a lot of that data themselves. And it's also true that there is secret societies that hand out those books and those formulas and those things to their thought leaders and their false prophets and the people that they want to lead. Those people make their own contributions to those societies, and then those people are given tasks. And they rise through power typically. Sometimes you can trace it very easily, like in the case of one famous nutritionist, they found out later that his whole first book was plagiarized from an author in Iran. And so that was one little segment. We found out that people had been given information, like patent information from COVID, from an insider circle. And then they went around trying to sell everybody, you know, pretending to be a freedom fighter with all this patent information. And of course, they're accepted into all these other communities because they're like, oh, wow, he's on our team. Look, he also hates the same people we hate. But they come in to basically bring a false prophet into that setup to where that setup becomes compromised. And then others get added after that. And so then you have some entity that was kind of a noble gathering that becomes a little bit tainted and strange and different. And it also gets divisive and political and things like that. I saw it happen with some very close movements that I've known that were very political, that became political, but were not originally through these little divisions. So you could say, that's all just in your mind. That's okay. And maybe it's untrue about certain nutritionists and certain people. But I will always spark my ears when someone has access. When someone has access to that much media, those many reels, that many videos, my red flags go off. Now, I could be totally wrong, but it doesn't matter because I can also argue this stuff on the science itself. But without me, myself, getting lost in an insectization process either, where it's like, you know, it's like trying to fight out a Bible conversation with someone where you might have a grasp on some deeper understandings of things, and then you bump into someone who all they have is thousands of Bible quotes, right? On the surface level, you're going to look like you're getting your ass kicked because this person can quote everything. But at the deeper level, this person may be completely one-sided, lopsided, and also mechanical and rigid compared to the place you may be shooting from or, you know, coming from. So, you know, I was thinking shooting from like hip, like, you know, shooting from the hip or from your intuition. And so also the hydrogen water. Okay. So let's go directly into this fast here. He wants everybody to fast for 3 days with these aminos and hydrogen water and all this stuff. So the problem with all this is hydrogen is an acidification process. And it also, it's an acid too. And that creates, it can steal oxygen through the aluminum channel, meaning it can strip aluminum of the container it's in, the plastic that it may be in as well, whatever kind of endocrine disruptor is there, BPS, whatever that is. It has a way of stripping out aluminum if it's even touching any sort of metal there, or the aluminum in the water. So that can cause oxygen stealing as well from the heavy metal, but it also creates a greater availability of that aluminum. You know, it kind of breaks it down a little bit. So I don't ever trust a movement like this that's sold in plastic, and I definitely don't trust it sold in plastic with components that are aluminum, meaning whatever, you know, components are composed of these hydrogen, whatever you call it, creation machines. And then breaking the composition down, then we also have the plastic itself, which for $59, I can't really understand that. And then we have like kind of typical views, not TikTok, but the typical views on hydrogen. And most of the studies go against and for hydrogen water. Yeah. So they go both sides, right? And so that's already a warning that this is not a closed case here. There's a lot of people going different directions on how they see this. So, and if you want something that's attracting and making your everything more digestible and attracting, you know, like he says in his videos, a certain type of hydrophilic bacterias. Well, a lot of those, don't let the word hydro confuse you, because that's water. You know, that's water attraction is what that is. And so what does that the best? Homemade broth. Homemade broth, when you pour it on your food, when it gets into your stomach, it pulls all those acids and enzymes into itself because of its hydrophilic properties of the gelatin. And so that is the real way to do this, and not this fasting thing. Water fasting can destroy your kidneys. It can demineralize you. It can take you the wrong way, especially if you're in a weaker state, which a lot of people sadly are, if they're following all of this combination of stuff without seeing anything. And so, it can harm you long term to do this to your organs just on a whim like that. You know, I'd almost prefer a broth kind of fast, where you're doing a little broth or something where you're not just trying to like stress out your organs to that degree, and find a way to, you know, like intermittent or this. I mean, that just seems like intense, especially with the hydrogen water and plastic thing and what it does to metals in the body. The need or not need for it to be there at all, like you adding that element, also what it might do to the plastic. Then we go into the pea protein, which is one of the base items in all, some of these amino pack supplements. So you'll have like the pea protein is one reality, and the amino acids are another reality. Both of them involve synthesis, and the aminos involve synthesis to create them out of the proteins that they, you know, bacterial genetically modified, of course, bacteria, which you do not have to declare as genetically modified because the bacteria is not considered in the argument for labeling. So it's just the final product is considered. So that's not genetic, right? So all of these bacteria, and I'm not against all bacteria, genetic bacteria, because there's certain things that can't be overcome. I get it. But if we're going to go back to the nature of the body, then yes, you're bringing all this genetic bacteria in there. Now, what other things were used to extract, dehydrate, run slurries, spray drying, using nitrogen, all the things that they do to atomization processes, these are real. This is how you break things into perfect little size powders and have this perfect granularity and dissolvability and all these kind of things. So when you start getting into this world, you are in a world of pain, because most of this stuff, the process is used, the slurry is used, the chalks, the materials, the drying, the gas, the different things that they use to break this stuff down, and the heat, of course, the damaging of the omega-3 chains and any other chain in there, to be honest with you. Those are all creating not only endocrine disruptors from all those different agents being used, but also heavy metals. And so they're finding a lot of heavy metals and endocrine disruptors like at a rate of like, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600% more than they would have these typical items like pea protein would have if you just took peas. Yeah. And so they're finding all this stuff, and it's due to how they're extracting everything. So this is a scary side, and that's the pea protein side. So that's one side of the shape, you know, 30 grams of protein per day, whatever. But if you take it to the other side, which is just the amino acid side, then yeah, you'd say, well, the pea protein's not there, so we're good. But it's still happening in that other side too. Like, we're finding all more and more of these supplements from Asia, which a lot of these come from, the base components, the powders and stuff, that have, you know, different levels of heavy metals that can be accepted because they're not being sold either as a food item or they're as a byproduct of something else, and then they're able to say that some of these things have been extracted out or whatever, but there's a lot of chemicals involved. So there is kind of a hidden reality that creeps up on you, not to mention sodium, and not the good kind of sodium, which coming from sea salt. This is actually, you know, high levels of like, you know, pure sodium chloride, which actually triggers the veins and the heart and everything else. And they put these in the protein powders. They put these in a lot of stuff too. So you got a lot of little things going on there that you didn't think about. And all to replace what? To replace healthy food? You know, like, where are we going with this insectification process? You know, this is the building that out. Are they building us out towards the insect eating community that they want us to be in 20 years from now through like this whole, like, look, we can break down food into 1,000 components and people buy into it. And people are. So we got to wake up from this stuff. This is not a healthy approach. And I'm not trying to be any sort of like above, but to be honest with you, a lot of the people that I see leading these movements are from California. There's a lot of foodies in California, a lot of agriculture there, but I would not let a California movement. Now, I'm not talking about a California individual. Individuals can come to other parts of America, learn different things, or the world, and become more global citizens of the world or whatever that has to be. And they can understand more about needs in different areas. They can understand the North. They can understand the South. They can be global people in some ways. Now, putting down people and their individuality. But I will say, as mass movements, yes, you can pick, you know, mass. This is where things get in trouble. So mass movements coming out of California, do not let them lead you anywhere. Almost 99% of mass things that come out of California from the big mega churches and the prosperity gospels that have infected all the South and all these other areas, and to the Jesus movements, to a lot of, you know, and I'm not anti-Christian at all. I'm just saying the Jesus movement is not something that I relate to. Like, that is a different type of thing. That is not the typical religious thing. That's a revival of some sort of, you know, personification, like save me kind of intensity, like there's something that I, and then it seems to always fall into this sheep type of big mega church movement, right? And so this is dangerous. You're creating flocks of sheep out of people instead of individuals. And so this is where the false prophets do their best damage. So be very careful of any movement out of California and even the people behind it, because I'm sorry, but those movements are not destined to lead others. You'd be better off finding disparate movements in smaller numbers that are trying to do things right in different parts of the country that are not so programmable as that part of the country is. That's what the Jesus Revolution, if you've ever seen the film, a lot of people were like, it's the biggest movement that ever happened and it came from California. And I'm like, yeah, you just proved my point that you have all these people that are programmable there. And, you know, from Silicon Valley on down to Hollywood to everything else, it's a programmable culture with individuals who are not programmable that usually escape from there and come to Texas or come to other places. But it is a programmable culture in a large degree, and we're suffering from that. So be careful of these movements coming from that top-down area. And I'm not saying that any other state would be better or worse, but what I'm saying is be careful of that one energy, because it's destructive, and it's definitely more of a bottom-up movement we need to find, like, you know, ground, smaller, more humble movements that are based on tradition and learning how to cook properly and educate properly and dress properly and be good people, not like holy rollers or holier than thou or any of that stuff, but leading people to themselves, the highest of themselves, and not through some movement, which can ruin their health over time. It's definitely not healthy for the kidneys, this whole reality, fasting for the kidneys, just with water and this type of hydrogen acidic water. And then we're going to bring in all these proteins and slurries and stuff in powders, and we're going to add all that to it. You think that's like the kill your kidney diet. So be careful, guys.